This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. TheCountrySquireOnline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm excited about tonight. We've got another Squire Select going on, which is a lot of fun. Going to change it up a little bit tonight, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. This is going to be a great episode, man. We're coming back from Thanksgiving. At this point, our bellies are full, and we have hopefully all had an opportunity to rest and sleep off the tryptophan, although you don't believe in tryptophan.
Look, if it's there, it's not the reason you go into a food coma. The reason you go into a food coma is because you ate a whole honey-baked ham. I'm sorry, but like, oh, it must be that chemical that's in the turkey. No, you ate an entire half of a, like, you know, 25-pound turkey.
It's all...
Butterball.
It's all a conspiracy that Big Tryptophan wants you to believe. Or Big Turkey wants you to believe.
Big Turkey and Big Tryptophan. I'm just saying, like, that. This, I will say, my cousin was very, very gracious and had us over to her house this past Thanksgiving. And it was the first time in years that I literally ate so much that I got physically ill.
Yeah?
Like, I couldn't move.
Oh, that's a good
thing. And I started, like, breaking out in sweats and stuff. I was like, man, I just got to get to the point where I can stand up and get in my car and go home. Like,
oh, man. But you stayed in town,
though, right? Rough. Yeah, I stayed here in town. I've got a good bit of family here in Jackson. And so, I was able to just kind of get around and hang out here and watch some football and eat some good food and take a lot of naps and read. It was great.
Well, good, man.
I smoked a lot of tobacco, too. It's fantastic.
Well, that's part of it. You got to feast in a lot of different ways. We actually, it was great. We posted out on Facebook. I actually showed my pipe that I was using for Thanksgiving, which was that large Churchwarden Nording pipe.
Yeah, dude, that was awesome.
So gorgeous. And, you know, I got to mention this, too, because I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, but I brought it by the shop a couple days before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And you so graciously put your mad skills to work and turned this pipe that had been very, very well used by one of the most frequent pipe smokers I think either of us have ever met.
Either of us know. And frankly, it was kind of foul.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Yeah,
it was absolutely
pretty foul. I'm pretty sure I went through a pack and a half of pipe cleaners on that pipe.
Oh, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I
think I even got nicotine poisoning, like just from handling.
I got to tell you, it's clear that the previous owner of this estate pipe was definitely in the Latakia.
Absolutely.
Because as much as you cleaned it out, the ghost of the Latakia,
it
I think,
was
is
still probably
remain.
There a little bit. There's no amount of, like, you know, pipe sweetener that can overcome some of that.
But, well, I think it's actually kind of nice. I was actually after Thanksgiving dinner, I was smoking some Throgmorton on the Bayou. No. I'm sorry, Throgmorton Cellar.
Yeah,
and actually sitting around a camp a fire pit and everything, smoking out of that pipe, just a great smoke. But I got to tell you that the Latakia cake that was there,
right?
It kind of added to the experience. So if you've ever wondered what sprinkling a little Latakia into your cellar would be like, I now know. Hey, it's not bad at all.
Thank you, by the way, for mentioning that. I was able to clean up that pipe. That is something that we've started to offer here more at the Squire. Regularly. If you have a pipe stem that's oxidized, that's got that kind of yellowy or white look to it, just because it's old.
If it used to be black and now it's like brown,
and now it's like cheese colored, depending on what kind of cheese. Bring it by the shop. Send it to me. You're welcome to mail it to me. Give me a call. Send it to me. We actually are able in the shop here now. We're set up where we can polish, buff those stems out so they just sparkle. And we're real competitive on our prices with that, too. So please think about us if you've got a pipe that looks like, it was left up underneath the refrigerator for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can get that sparkling for you.
Did you didn't happen to take a before and after shot or anything, did you?
I didn't. Oh. I did. I do have some though of pipes that we've done that before too, you know, as well. And yeah, it's pretty remarkable what a little polish and TLC will do.
Hey, one more thing about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving Day, frequent listener, loyal listener, Pharmacophore over on Twitter gave us a shout out on his YouTube channel. So great. He was enjoying some coffee. I think it was coffee. Might have been tea out of his Country Squire Radio mug.
Yeah. Yeah.
And gave us a great shout out for us and then also the YouTube channel. And, you know, we've mentioned it before, but we are on YouTube now. I mean, we've been on YouTube before, but now Country Squire Radio.
It's a little different now.
Well, we've got our own unique channel.
Right.
And so we're really excited about it. You guys have been great. In fact, we have already said it on the past couple episodes, but we are actually giving away 2 ounces of tobacco from the Country Squire.
2 whole ounces.
Yeah, it's kind of a contest or, well, like giveaway. I don't know exactly what
it's a drawing.
A drawing.
Yeah,
that's good.
But you have to enter the drawing.
You do have to enter the drawing.
How do you enter the drawing?
You enter the drawing by heading over to our new YouTube channel, which if you go to countrysquireradio.com, you'll find the YouTube link right there.
Yeah.
Click on it, subscribe, then head over to Twitter. Let us know that you've subscribed there. You know, and yeah, that's all you got to do. And so we will be drawing a name at the end of December and giving away 2 ounces of tobacco.
Delicious
tobacco.
Country Squire hand-blended tobacco.
And you can choose, right?
The wonderful thing is you get to choose, and you don't have to get 2 ounces of the same thing. You can get an ounce of 2 different things. Which is great.
I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah, it's almost like
so you could technically get 2 different things.
Like I've actually created like a tear in space time to allow you to do that. So it's normally not available, but yeah.
Oh man, yeah, that's the only way that's possible is a tear in space. Brilliant.
Do you know it is 100-year anniversary now of general relativity?
Is that right?
The 2015 is 100 years since Einstein came out with his theory of general relativity.
Oh, man.
Now, to explain general relativity, we're going to have to dip up those 2 ounces.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
So this year or next year?
This year? Yeah.
We've only got a couple. We need to knock out that Einstein episode.
Have we not done that?
Well, I mean, we've talked briefly.
We've talked about it.
But
before.
We haven't done like an in-depth. You know, Einstein was one of those when we talk about Heroes of the Bowl.
Right.
He's one of those that we kind of put off to the side because he needs his own special episode.
Yeah, we might need to do it.
I think that's the
case. Okay, we'll talk about that.
Another thing that we need to do too is, another thing we need to do as well, you know, I mentioned last week that I want for Christmas a Bing's favorite.
Yeah, that's right.
And I actually just wrote my letter to Santa Claus.
Okay.
And instead of a Bing's favorite, what I really want / need is a nice method for carrying my pipes.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
At this point, we've done 2 different episodes on, I think it was called Tracking and Packing, and based on kind of how you pack your pipes up and all the accessories and everything else.
Did you pick that name?
I think so.
That was a good name.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And so, you know, I know that, you know, I've seen you representing some pretty, like, you know, it's pretty baller stuff when it comes to carrying around your pipes.
My gear, yeah.
And so at some point, I'm going to need you to show me what you got because, yeah, I need Mrs. Claus to know.
Okay, good. kind of upgrade the old pipe accoutrement.
Well, you know, at this point, I am literally carrying everything around in a bowler cap. I'm not even lying. Like the past two times I traveled, both times actually to Oxford, Mississippi, I was carrying my pipes specifically in a bowler cap.
Right.
And that was just how I was transferring them.
You know, at least it's not like a white paper bag or something.
No.
I don't know.
No.
It could be worse.
Well, hey, we're not white paper bagging it tonight, but we are brown bagging it tonight.
We are brown bagging it tonight.
It is a Squire Select episode. Now, for those of you who've never listened to a Squire Select episode before, this is where we take pipe tobacco and pair it up with typically beverages. Now, I'm not saying it always has to be beverages. In the past, it's been predominantly whiskeys, but we've also done teas. I think we've done
a beer.
We've done beer.
We've
that's
done
right.
beer. Yeah.
And tonight we're classing up the joint a little bit because we're doing some wine.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I after smoking a couple blends that I was interested in featuring tonight. We were just like, let's mix it up once. And you know, the thing about wine is you can't open it and then close it and put it back on the shelf for a week and then come back to it. So, you know, when you buy wines, you're kind of committed. You got to drink it in a day or two, you know. And, of course, that's never been a problem for people like me.
Oh,
and
mother.
But
everyone knows all you have to do is drink the bottle of wine within the first 5 hours that it was open, and you can't get drunk from it.
I know. That's basically science.
It's basically.
Yeah. Hey, Bo, I'm sorry, though. I didn't, you know, you don't get a cup tonight. I just brought you a straw for your bottle of
right,
wine.
Right.
no, yeah, so we thought we'd mix it up a little bit and go with some nice red wine and pair it up. And of course, you know, when you think of red wine, you know, typically it goes nice with a little cooler weather. And this year, you know, when the weather does, the temperature drops a little bit, I typically do tend to pull more towards English blends. And so our first wine here that we'll pair with the tobacco momentarily, this is an interesting wine. It's called, I'm going to probably butcher all this just like we do every other name in the show, but it's a 2013 Malbec. It's called Keo or Keo.
Keo.
Keo Roble, and it's a Malbec, Argentinian wine. Retails here in Mississippi, where our excise taxes are kind of low, retails for about $15 a bottle, so extremely reasonable, very good. It's a sweet red, and so it's one of those that, you know, Malbecs kind of have this thing going on where, you know, you might get notes of, you know, spice and pepper, but the sweetness is really going to shine through. At least that's my experience. And I want to read real quickly kind of a description of a Malbec. I thought this was nice. And I by no means am a wine expert. And I think you would, you know, say the same. I know probably
you would,
more.
You would know more than me.
I probably know more about scotches than I do wine. And even that is pretty limited. But yeah, I thought I'd read this description of Malbecs, which is fascinating. A Malbec is a black skin grape variety native to southwestern France. But now it's better known for the iconic wine grape of Argentina. And that's where this Keo Malbec comes from. Though its success in the vineyards of Mendoza, in a few short decades, Malbec has shot from a relative obscure wine to international fame, simultaneously bringing newfound attention and respect to Argentina and wine producing. And then it goes on, Malbec typically ripens midway through the growing season and produces small, intensely colored grapes. It is so sensitive to the growing environment, the level of ripeness has a considerable effect on the structure of the eventual wine. And so, you know, it goes on, broadly speaking, they tend to be more meaty, rustic, tannic, and you know, with this particular one, you've got kind of a ripeness that features a lot of berry, almost like jelly or like a marmalade kind of flavor. Huh. It's really, really interesting. And so you've got a boldness there, but it's also a really sweet, kind of smooth, silky finish on that. And so anyway, why don't we try it?
Yeah, that's what I say.
I've already poured these out in our classy solo cups here, red solo cups.
Oh, yeah.
These are kind of like just to let the wine breathe a little bit before we drink up. So, and man, I kind of went heavy on the portions tonight, didn't I?
Yeah, I noticed that, but here we go.
Maybe our live studio audience will drive us home.
Oh, well, I like that.
So bold.
Yeah.
Just a hint of dryness on the back end, but it's sweet, right? So you have a sweetness there where you're getting more of a rich berry flavor, I think. What do you get?
Yeah, definitely on the back end.
Your teeth are purple.
Are they really? This is a wine that, like, I don't feel like I have to eat something with it. Like, this seems to be a good, like, party wine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go to a Christmas party, as we have kind of coming up.
Right.
And you're going to be drinking wine, you know, you have a little bit of bite to eat. But this isn't necessarily something I feel needs to be paired with, like, a suckling pig or something of that nature.
Particular type of food.
Yeah. Like, it's like you say, it's bold. It kind of speaks for itself from that standpoint and satisfies you a bit.
Well, the good thing about this wine, because it is, you know, it has boldness and sweetness to it, it's very versatile. It's a good wine to go, when I actually selected this at the liquor store, next door here in the quarter, the guy was like, look, this would go great with something, you know, super spicy or peppery, because it's kind of a balance to that. You know what I mean? It's kind of that nice balance to the pepper and spice. What's interesting, I thought what we'd do tonight is pair this with a really nice English blend. This is, of course, one of our house blends here at the Squire called Angry Cornishman.
Oh, yes.
And Angry Cornishman is great. We have had Cornishman pipe tobacco for 40 years. I mean, Cornishman goes way back. Mr. Reeves, that founded our shop in 1970, Cornishman was his favorite tobacco here. But what we did, we noticed so many people over the years adding more Latakia to their Cornishman because they just wanted that extra kick, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done, you know, is just made that a blend, and we've called it Angry Cornishman. It's kind of funny. Angry kind of overstates it. I feel like it should maybe be more like robust Cornishman, or maybe like maybe fighting Cornishman.
Okay, fighting Cornishman.
Fighting Cornishman. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's definitely got more Latakia in it than the original Cornishman, but it's just a really smooth English blend. The natural sweetness comes out, but you definitely have plenty of Latakia in there to give it a nice smoky overtone.
You've still got the original Cornishmen too, right?
We do. Yeah, we sure do.
I've never actually like smoked them back to back.
Yeah, you should sometime. Yeah, absolutely. Let me let you smell this.
So definitely going for the balance here.
Yeah, it's the balance. Yeah. I mean, this is something that, you know, you're going to have boldness to it. But as you smoke it as well, there's enough natural sweetness with some of the Virginias in here that gives it a sweet factor. And I'd kind of point you maybe towards a Throgmorton to kind of, you know, kind of maybe an analogy of this pipe tobacco. It's one of those that you definitely taste the Latakia, but it's certainly there. There's plenty of it there. But the, you know, the sweetness is there as well. And that's why I thought the KO would, the Malbec would go so well with it tonight.
KO!
KO!
It just makes me think of, oh gosh, what was that game? Street Fighter? KO! You know.
Oh, like knockout.
Knockout. Which I guess boxing would also be a thing with KO.
That could be a thing.
Yeah. All right.
What's next, baby? So now we have a very interesting twist. And our next wine is something fascinating. This is a wine I got next door. It's called, I'm probably going to butcher this again, Attica Old Vines 2013.
Now, this is not the sci-fi movie where they genetically engineer people.
You know, actually, that's what I thought I was getting when I bought this. But because
That would be Gattaca.
That's right. Yeah, I mispronounced it. They gave me the wine instead.
There you go.
So because that would have gone great with the tobacco I'm about to describe.
But tobacco and movie pairing. Oh my gosh.
That could be a thing.
That should be a thing.
It could be a thing.
All right.
I'm really interested to hear our feedback. You know, a lot of our watchers and listeners, you know, have tried some of our, you know, some of our tobacco, but most are familiar with a lot of the tin tobaccos
sure,
that we feature.
Absolutely.
And so I'll get to the tin tobacco that I'm pairing with this tonight in a moment. But, you know, so I would encourage you to try something like the Angry Cornishman, maybe with a sweeter wine or something that's a little more fruity, even though it's still a nice dry red. This one, this Attica, it's a Old Vines 2013. Let me read the back of this to you. It's fascinating. I can't really, you know, summarize this any better. The wine growers from Catalyud, this is a Spanish wine, by the way, and I'm probably destroying all this stuff. Wine growers from Catalyud have been planting the best vineyards in a composition of slate, dry, and high-altitude soils in this area for centuries. The meticulously hand-harvested grapes of Garnacha, thrive perfectly in this region. Their wines show cherry red color with purple hues, deep, long taste finish with persistent hints of mulberries. What the heck is a mulberry?
I think that's where Opie and Sheriff, what was the guy's name?
I actually thought it was
Floyd the Barber.
Floyd the Barber. I actually thought that was what the Smurfs ate. Is that what?
Actually, you know, the mulberry bush. That sounds all around the mulberry. I don't know.
Well, anyway, it makes
wine.
It's got hints of mulberry. No, this is a really interesting wine. So as you drink this, you'll notice a lot of different things kind of going on. The first, you know, top that you get at the very beginning is quite powerful, but then the finish is really kind of what gets me. Why don't you give it a try, Bo?
This is the one that you said you were not sure how I would feel about it.
I don't think you're going to want to take this home with you.
Wow, that is unique. That is, wow. That's different.
How about that finish?
Uh-huh. I feel like something just like dissolved in my mouth a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
you ever like eat one of those vitamins that like,
yeah.
Like kind of leaves your mouth with
powdery
like a
type.
Super chalky kind of thing.
Dude, absolutely. That is exactly what is going on with
your mind. I think that's something interesting there.
I was going to say it kind of almost turns to ash in my mouth, but that's a
no,
far
yeah,
better
it's
way
a chalky
it.
Kind of sense. And so you drink this wine at first when you drink it, I think the very tip of it is very full bodied and you get notes of pepper and you know, frankly, just lots of pepper for me. My wine senses aren't as developed as I am with tobacco, but you know, lots of spice, and then you know, there's a little mellow sweetness that kind of goes as you're swishing the wine around. You swallow the wine, and it kind of follows the sweetness down the back of your tongue. But then at the end, as the wine is kind of clearing, it's just like someone took some talcum powder,
yeah,
and just threw it in your mouth along with maybe, I don't know, some curry. And it's really interesting.
This is going to be a challenge for you to pair this with it.
Yeah, so I'm very proud of this. Okay. I worked very hard at this one. This one I'm pairing with Cornell & Diehl's Cajun Cake. This is a fantastic tobacco, and it's one of those that pretty much any connoisseur of tobacco has tried at some point in time. But Cajun Cake, it's fascinating tobacco. The tin from our friends at Cornell & Diehl, it says, naturally sweet red Virginias, a touch of everyone's favorite Cajun spice, Louisiana Perique, pressed into a crumble cake. Okay. Now, so you know, our friends at Cornell & Diehl, a lot of times they are kind of vague on their descriptions. Uh-huh. So, you know, you open this up. I love, you read a lot of these tins, and it's like Virginias and Perique mixed with some Burley. And it's like, that's what the last five tins I read said. It's like, you know, Virginias and, you know, Burley mixed with a dash of, you know, Latakia. Well, why didn't it taste like the other one? Anyway, yeah, so this is a really fascinating tobacco.
You're saying that tobacco blends are essentially like Mexican food?
Right, yeah. You go to all the different places, like this is a, you know, tortilla with some chicken cut up, wrapped in foil.
Say, I mean, it's all the same thing, but it all tastes very differently.
But it tastes different sometimes. Yeah, so anyway, this Cajun cake is tasty. You open the tin up with Cajun cake, of course. If you've never opened it, it's a crumble cake. And so it's a crumble cake that you look at and you're like, is that been sitting around for like 10 years? Because it's kind of a dusty looking thing. And with, you know, another kind of hallmark of our friends at Cornell & Diehl, they tend to, the tin moisture tends to be a little on the lower side, I think. And so when you open the tin, it's kind of a dry, a little spongy, but kind of dry crumble cake. And, you know, the leaves that are pushed in there are, you know, very apparent, but it's kind of dusty looking. But this is a fascinating tobacco. The strength on this is very similar to this wine to me, okay? Uh-huh. Because as you drink the Attica Old Vines 2013, you are you're overwhelmed at first by, you know, flavor, but it's that back end that's just like pepper and in your face, you know, power. It's just kind of interesting.
So in this one, you're doubling down.
You're kind of doubling down on this one. I don't feel like this one is necessarily a balance. This is like, you know what? You're going all in with this tobacco, so let's go all in with the wine, too.
I don't believe you.
Smell it.
I want to challenge
you. Smell it.
I mean, that does smell fine, but I can't believe this with the other as a pairing. Like, I thought you were going to go in a completely different way. I thought you were going to go with something extremely floral to kind of even it out, but you're doubling down here.
I want you to smell this.
I want to smell
as
it.
I'm lighting this up now, this Cajun cake in front of Bo. I don't think
I'm going to do something I've never done on the show.
You going to smoke your pipe?
I'm going to smoke my pipe.
Oh, man.
A little bit. I don't. The same time. My priorities, quality first.
Hey, and let's be honest. You were smoking a beautiful little corncob pipe tonight from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
This was actually a gift from Missouri Meerschaum.
Yeah. Did you get that at the New Orleans Pipe Show?
Yeah, limited series pipe.
Yeah.
Not, I'm using my thumb as a tamp.
You know what's interesting is you're packing that. I love my Missouri Meerschaum pipes. Like, what do you need? Matches?
Yep, please.
I've got a one of these Cobbett pipes, and it's the Shire edition. And you know, it's one of those that like you're like, really, you know, is how good does this pipe really smoke? Man, that pipe smokes like a dream. There's something about the draw on that pipe that is so smooth. And it's open just enough for you to really get a nice sense of, you know, sense of the flavor in your mouth. I don't know. There's something about the draw on that Cobbett pipe that's very satisfying.
All right. So let's see.
What do you think?
Excellent tobacco.
Cajun cake.
Pairing with Gattaca. I'm sorry.
Attica.
Attica.
Do you need someone to drive you home? It's just kind of overwhelming.
It's a lot of wine.
Well, give me a sense of like, you know, some of the room note that you're smelling.
No, it's good.
Can you kind of smell like what?
This is spicy.
It's a
spicy tobacco, and it's kind of got a... You're probably going to chastise me for this, but is dark a good way to kind of describe a flavor?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's right or not, but I mean, like, I get kind of this...
I think I've described tobaccos that way before.
Because burnt is not quite what I want to say, because that's not right. But just there's some, like a blackened...
Like a
dark,
fired blackened?
Yeah, fired is good. Something of that nature.
Blackened is actually good. And you think of
blackened
like
chicken.
a seasoning. Yeah,
Cajun. Actually, a lot of Cajun chicken is actually blackened as well. I can see that. That's a really good pairing.
I actually think that's an interesting way to look at it, that blackened sense. This is a tobacco that it's got a spicy... peppery, kind of a blackened flavor to it. That I like that. I think that's good.
I think the problem was I packed it with my thumb. I don't know. I'll enjoy it.
Nah, you're doing fine.
All right. Excellent pairings, man.
I thought they came out pretty good. Yeah. This Attica is good. It retails for about $17 a bottle. And it's one of those that, you know, you're going to have a glass or two, and that's probably going to be enough because it's pretty strong. Again, on that finish.
You poured us an entire little red cup here.
Yeah, if you have a glass that I pour, it might, you know, you just go get you a Route 44 at Sonic. Yeah. But I like this with the Cajun cake. Cajun cake is interesting. You read reviews on it, and people are like, oh, I taste, you know, the sweetness of it, and the you know, it's so smooth, and you know, then you've got people like me that when they try it, it's like, man, that's, you know, there's just so much power, and the perique in it is so incredibly strong, and you've got this fired, or like you said, a blackened flavor to it, which I think is really a signature piece of it. So anyway, I thought doubling down like that would be nice.
It paid off. I apologize for challenging.
It's okay. I need to be challenged.
Way, man. Something you could do to challenge yourself.
Yeah. What's that?
You read more.
Yeah.
But who's got the time to read?
I don't.
Neither do I. You know what I prefer?
Listening
to audiobooks.
Yeah. Just like people like to listen to us.
That's right. And hey, if you like listening to this podcast, you'd probably want to help support it, as well as listen to other fine audio content from the good folks at Audible. If you head over to audibletrial.com/CSR, you can get yourself a free audiobook for signing up with them, specifically through that link, audibletrial.com/CSR. And hey, in the show notes for this episode, you'll even find a link that says Audible. You can click that, do it right there instantly. And I have it on good authority that in the Satchel Podcast Player, you'll be able to easily jump to the show notes from the player itself by the end of this week. I've got it on good authority.
Isn't that something?
So check it out, audibletrial.com/CSR.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. We have got a new, well, same sponsor, new
featured product.
Exactly.
How about that?
So, yeah. You know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about Lane 1Q. Today we're talking about BCA.
Yeah, Lane's BCA. What a classic, man. It's one of those that it's an incredibly smooth tobacco. This is a Cavendish that, you know, obviously has a little vanilla topping on it, but is so versatile. It's one of those that you can smoke just pounds and pounds of just by itself. But then also it works great as a blending tobacco too, mm-hmm. because it's so creamy, adds a lot of texture. It's mellow, just a really, really nice Cavendish blend.
Yeah.
Our friends at Lane have had BCA for a while. Do we know what BCA stands for?
I'm going to double check on that, and we'll definitely mention it next episode, because that's a good one. Of course, Lane, a lot of their tobaccos, fine quality tobaccos, all have kind of unique names in terms of the letters and the numbers.
Yeah.
And some of those names are known, but most of them have been lost to time.
That's right.
We'll do a little research there and check out Pipe Question of the Week next week for more information on Lane's BCA. Pipe question of the week was written in today from Parker Brunson. He writes in, "Good morning, Bo and John David. I had a pipe question of the week for you. I was wondering how you recommend doing a periodic pipe cleaning other than just with pipe cleaners. Would you recommend using products such as pipe sweetener or a briar pipe wipe, or just something simple as dipping a pipe cleaner into bourbon or grain alcohol to do the job?"
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think the answer is dependent upon how bad the case is. I think the answer is dependent on how bad the actual pipe issue is. You know, is it something that you've built up a lot of cake and it's uneven and, you know, there's a sense in which your bowl is just kind of nasty and ashy? Or is it just a taste issue? You know, is it something where you know, you just kind of need to get some sourness out of your pipe, maybe because you forgot to swab it out after a smoke? You know, for me, and again, you said to kind of go in depth around this, but or beyond this, but for me, if you clean your pipe regularly with a cleaner, and I'm super religious about this, you know, after every smoke, even sometimes during every smoke, you know, you're just not going to have to do much maintenance other than that. But if you do have a pipe that needs some, you know, kind of, you know, a nice tune-up, as it were, you know, take you, you know, some pipe sweetener or pipe cleaner. You can dip your cleaner in it and just run it through there. And you know, it, again, it depends on the severity of it. Like, do you need to just kind of swab it through? Is it something where it might be helpful for you to actually pour the sweetener into the bowl of the pipe, kind of swish it around, and then sometimes let it dump out the end of the shank? I do that occasionally, you know, as in with more larger, you know, problem pipes that just have more buildup.
To clarify, like, you just said the end of the shank, not the end of the stem. So you're talking about deconstructing the pipe before doing
it. That's exactly right. Yeah, I typically will do that. And you could let it run out the stem as well. But I think if you take the stem apart, you know, you're able to get it drier. You know, you don't want moisture to sit in your pipe. So using a pipe sweetener or cleaner, or even if you go the bourbon or grain alcohol route, that's not something you, the goal is not to leave the moisture there. The goal is to use the moisture to get a good scrub going, right? You want to remove a lot of that material, maybe leave some of the sweetness, but, you know, really just kind of sanitize that pipe and get a lot of that material out. Pipe sweetener and bourbon work great just because, you know, they leave a little nice, you know, taste afterwards, as opposed to a rubbing alcohol or something like that. So, you know, I highly recommend, you know, using something along those lines. And like I said, you could, you know, pour it inside the bowl and swish it around some and then let it run out the end of the shank. You know, the main thing is you don't want to let any product like that get on the finish of the pipe because it will, you know, will hurt the finish of the pipe. So be careful doing that. Some people use an eyedropper or something like that. What I do, and a lot of people, this is so simple to me, but a lot of people just don't really have a concept of this, but you know, it is very helpful to take a pipe cleaner and turn it into a U, and then stick it into your bowl and just kind of swab it around for a couple times, and do that maybe until it comes out clean. You know, that's always a good call to do that. On a severely caked pipe that just needs some you know, some of that cake to go away, the reaming is a really, you know, good thing. And obviously reaming is best done with like one of these senior pipe tools that is adjustable. You can kind of stick it in the bowl, adjust it to the size that you want it to go, and then scrape it out some. You know, you do need to be careful if your pipe doesn't have a lot of cake. If your pipe's got a lot of cake, you can actually ream it pretty hard. I mean, you know, the briar can take it if it's a good pipe, and it can you know, kind of get away some of that cake that's been built up over the years. So get your cake out, and then, you know, take some of your sweetener or maybe grain alcohol or your favorite whiskey and swab it through there either with the cleaner or maybe pour a little bit in and swish it around and then give it a good scrub. And really that's all there is to it. You know, I think as far as regular maintenance, outside of anything extraordinary, that's really all that you need to do.
Parker, excellent question.
Yeah.
You know, the cleaning the pipe is one that comes up quite a bit. So thanks for sending that in. And yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things I think you were kind of hinting at too is it just depends on what the condition of the pipe is. You got to have the right tool for the job.
You do have to have the right tool, and, you know, be mindful of kind of where you're at. If it's something where your pipe is just disgusting and there's a taste in there that even, you know, some type of scrub won't get out, you know, you're probably going to need to do a salt treatment or something where you're, you know, soaking, you know, that thing overnight with some either grain alcohol or you know, a pipe sweetener or something like that, and then removing it the next day where that stuff can kind of have an opportunity to come out of the side of the bowl. But yeah, anyway, a lot of different options there. I think the main key is you'll have to do less on a tune-up kind of treatment if you just clean your pipe regularly after you use it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Excellent question. Once again, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire questions. All right, we've got some quick fire questions in by a loyal Country Squire Radio listener, Morton Sendevi. He writes in, while you guys were at the NOLA Pipe Show having smoking fun, I was in bed with the flu.
Ugh.
So, well, I don't know if it was the fever or the snot, but here we go. He sent in, my friend, he sent in an entire page of quick fire questions.
Okay, so over the next couple of months, the sporadically our quick fire questions will be brought to you by Morton Sandell.
Pretty much, man. He'll definitely get us through the end of the year, that's for sure. All right, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is all over the map.
Bring it.
Glasses or contacts?
Contacts. I'm wearing glasses right now, but contact lenses give me more peripheral vision. Did I say that right?
Okay.
And I like to see more of my face because I'm just beautiful.
narcissism.
Narcissism. Contact.
For me, you know, I don't.
You don't wear either, do you?
I think I still have 20/20 vision. I've always had 20/20 vision all my life, but I haven't gotten tested in a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like lately I've been doing the whole, trombone thing.
Kind of squinting in and out, looking closer.
I think, though, if I had to choose, I would probably go with glasses.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't like the idea of putting something in my eye.
Yeah.
And, you know.
No, that's fair.
That's how I see it.
That's fair.
All right. Smooth or rusticated?
Yeah, this is a really...
Depends on the pipe.
This is a really good question for me. I have struggled with this, okay? I feel like pipe smokers are always looking for that thing, right? What's my blend? Like, what is my blend that I'm going to go into my pipe shop every week and get the same pound of or whatever? Like, what is my kind of pipe? It's a straight pipe with this kind of grain and all this kind of stuff. Like, and it does depend on the pipe. It does depend on, okay, do you like... with a bent pipe, maybe that's a taller bowl, you might want something with some texture. Or, you know, I mean, there's just all kinds of combinations that you can look at it from. There's different pipes for different occasions. I hate to box myself in. I tend to gravitate towards smooth pipes. I do. I tend to gravitate towards smooth pipes. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a kinetic touch thing. It's not the look of it. It is a touch thing.
Huh.
It is the feel of it on my hand. I love seeing the grain of a pipe. That's very attractive to me. But it's something about holding the pipe. If it's a smooth pipe, it's more pleasing to me if it's a smooth pipe.
You know, for me, I like a bit of both. Like, for example, we were talking earlier about this new pipe, at least new to me, the Nording Churchwarden.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of both. It's smooth around the top, and then it's rusticated on the bottom. Sure. Almost like there's kind of like this. Like
a cap
on
it or something.
It looks beautiful. And I really like that style because I just kind of like the artistic nature of it and just the way that it looks. And I also, you know, you talk about the tactile nature of it as well. I like that rusticated feel.
Yeah.
That's
what's interesting because it is a feel thing for me. You would kind of imagine that that would go towards more the rusticated or sandblasted texture. But, you know, I there's something about having a smooth pipe that's just very pleasing.
Well, it goes either way because... I have one pipe that is the rustication is not great.
Yeah.
In the sense that like it can literally slice your hand at one point of it.
Wow, that's terrible.
I know. It's really, really bad. I got, you know, anyway. But so I think but overall I would choose rusticated. All right, electric or acoustic guitar?
Acoustic. I think so. I mean, I don't know.
If I'm playing it electric.
I don't play guitar.
Neither do I, but I have played guitar, and electric is easier to play, a little bit easier on your fingers.
Okay, yeah.
And so I kind of prefer it from that standpoint, but if I'm listening, then acoustic. Spring or autumn?
Spring.
Autumn.
I have to go with spring. This is close, but it's...
You're a tobacconist. You should not be... You should...
No. Spring has its place in the pipe world. Mm. I mean... No, it does. It does. Look, in the Deep South, pipes go away in like June. Like May, right. June, somewhere around there. So that spring, that little spring that you get between, you know, down here anyway, spring feels like it's between like February, late February through like, I don't know, May. You know, and that area is like rebirth for me. All the greenery comes back out, all the, you know, plants start blooming again. You've got daffodils and tulips and all these things, and you're, you know, it's more comfortable to sit on your porch. And I have to go with spring.
All right, fair enough. No, autumn all the way for me. It's the perfect season in my opinion, just because it's cool outside, but it's not too cold. It's
you just
a fire
like
pit.
Fall beers.
I do. Well, no, I'm not even like a big pumpkin ale kind of guy. Although I do like kind of ambers and darker, you know, brown beers and that sort of thing.
But he loves a pumpkin spice latte.
And last but not least, conic or straight pipe cleaner? What's a conic?
Conic or straight pipe cleaner. I think he's talking about like a tapered pipe cleaner.
Oh.
Yeah, like a tapered pipe cleaner.
Okay.
So you're going to be a straight pipe cleaner guy. I'll go ahead and answer this question
for you. You're right.
I like a tapered or conic pipe cleaner. The reason I do, I almost always, shameless plug for brick and mortar tobacconists, but almost always will buy pipes, you know, from from myself actually, but you know, but from a place where I can actually give it the pipe cleaner test to make sure that it goes through. I'm a real big snob about pipe cleaners running through the pipe, you know, all the way to the bowl, without having any obstruction or anything. And so, and I like that to not just happen with a small pipe cleaner, but with a tapered pipe cleaner as well. Tapered pipe cleaners, if you're not familiar, have a bushy end on one end and kind of a smaller end on the other. And so you've got, you know, the smaller end, if you've got more buildup or maybe there's a, you know, the stem is more narrow than the shank of the pipe. I like the tapered cleaner because it kind of gets it cleaned better, I think.
Yeah.
I'm okay. A tapered guy.
Fair enough. Well, these are great quick fire questions. And like I said, we're going to be set up for the rest of the year, but be sure to send yours in anyway. CSR@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener, real quickly on Twitter, our friend Ed Dupree, who's here in town, he says he misses our Audible suggestions for books, Bo.
Yeah, no, I just...
People actually care about our Audible suggestions for books. Ed, how much more do you want to hear about, like, Bo reading...
I'm reading Star Wars books.
Star Wars novels.
I was about to say.
Just go to Audible and right.
It's all Star Wars and Game of Thrones.
No. We can mix it up some more. I do think that's a great comment. He said he loves Cajun cake, and it's second only to the country squire's own Pirate's Alley, which our friend Ed loves. So thank you for that, Ed.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. We also have some listener feedback from YouTube. You know, we mentioned at the top of the show, of course, we've got a dedicated YouTube channel right now for the podcast, which has been really great. And it's been awesome to see some response from the YouTube community and specifically the Pipe YouTube community. This one comes in from Public Piper, who wrote on our YouTube channel. He says, "Hey guys, thanks for these. This is what the YouTube Pipe community needs. Some high quality radio shows. If I can make one suggestion, then that me and a few friends came up with, if you can get to the main topic of the show within the first 30 seconds of the show, I think it would be really help the listener / viewer retention." So first of all, Public Piper, man, thank you so much for writing in, and also y'all be sure to check out his channel as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
We know we're new. Well, again, we're not necessarily new to the YouTube space, but we are in the sense that we're kind of trying a little bit here.
Sure.
So really, really great feedback. I mean, your experience is definitely very, very much valued. And, you know, we are a podcast first, and we also kind of bring the baggage, not baggage in a bad way, baggage in a good way, I think, of, you know, over 2 years of podcasting and over 100 episodes. And so, you know, there is kind of a lot of community discussion and kind of news and just kind of that vibe and that spirit that goes into the first portion of the show. But we really want to take your advice to heart and see how we might be able to apply, at least kind of inferring or mentioning what the subject matter is in the first kind of welcoming.
You know, I think he's got a good point. Like, you know, for people that tune into podcasts, you're kind of setting yourself aside for, you know, this 30 minutes, an hour and a half, for however long this podcast takes. You know you're going to power through. Right. You're not just listening for, you know, particular, you know, bites or whatever. At least that's my personal experience. With YouTube, though, I get it. You know, you do tend to like you kind of want to fast forward to like wherever the interesting stuff
right,
is.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, and the thing is, we're not... Our show is not styled to be a YouTube show for that exact reason. Like we're like a variety magazine show,
almost like vaudeville.
Well, no, but I mean, like we've got segments. There's you know, and the other thing too is, and I hope this kind of comes through is, you know, as you're kind of enjoying the show, a driving factor is we want to bring forth the spirit of a brick and mortar mom and pop shop.
That's right.
To the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so we you know, in turn, we also want to do that on the YouTube experience as well. You've mentioned actually, John David, before that, you know, the camera set up so that you're actually sitting exactly where somebody would if
they
were here in the shop.
That's
at the bar here. And so that plays in a part of it too. But great advice. We're taking that to heart, and we very much value the pipe community on
absolutely.
YouTube and y'all's feedback.
And please check out Public Piper's channel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a good job and very, you prolific. You'll join a great community if you do that.
Warren P. also sent us a message on Facebook, says, love the show. 10-hour windshield time each day is giving me plenty of time to dig into older episodes. How about a show on non-briar pipes? I'm a fan of metal. Great suggestion, Warren. We've actually, yeah. I think if I'm not mistaken, we've done corn cob, we've done clay, we've done meerschaum, right. But I don't think we've done metal. So I'd love to dive into that.
Yeah, and I would wonder if, he's kind of pointing us towards like the Falcon style pipe with the metal shank and maybe a screw-in briar bowl or something like that. Something we could explore for sure.
I would love to do one on metal shanks, especially now that, my rhino, as I've been enjoying that so much.
Yeah, the rocks pipe that we've termed the rhino. That would be great.
That'd be cool. We also got on iTunes. You want to read that one for us?
Yeah, it's from W. French 4th on iTunes. He says, great show. Overall, the best pipe podcast available today. Both hosts are great to listen to. John David is very knowledgeable, thank you very much, on all topics pipe related. The audio quality is perfect, and in my opinion, one of the most important parts of the show. Thanks for such a good quality show. Man, that's high praise, and thank you for commenting on our editing.
Yeah, no, that means a lot to me.
Is exquisite.
Well, we try. From time to time, we have a hiccup here and there, but for the most part, we do try to put our best foot forward in terms of the audio quality. And of course, John David is a gem in the pipe community with all of his different knowledge and ability to communicate.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, well, you should be. That's great feedback. We appreciate all your feedback. I think what we'll probably try to do going forward is, we always have an iTunes review. And so one of the great ways to kind of help support the show is head over to iTunes and write us a review. Another great way to help support the show is to actually support the show. In fact, if you're listening to us on the Satchel Podcast Player, you can actually click that support button and send us a few dollars, help us make this show happen, which really means a lot to us. We also want to encourage you to tune in for our live show. We do broadcast the show live every single Monday night at 6:30 Central Time. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. I read the PM and thought Pacific.
You're doing a good job.
Dyslexia.
It's the wine.
Well, the dyslexia and the wine have teamed up against me.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
And so we'd love for you to enjoy us there. Be sure also while you're listening live to tweet in. We always love getting that kind of engagement. Mm-hmm. You can, of course, follow the show and tweet into the show at Squire Radio. You can do so with us personally as well. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole. And you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And all the links to this and more, including our archived episodes, can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com.
Be sure to check out the shop's website as well this Christmas season. We've got just a whole lot of great tobaccos on there, hand-blended stuff that you can only get right here at the Country Squire, and we'd love to send it to you just in time for the holidays.
Well, good stuff, man. This was a fun episode.
I had a lot of fun. Yeah, it's really good. I for our English blend smokers, heavy Perique smokers, I know kind of the Squire Select episodes tend to be, interesting. A lot of folks are like, I'll try that. And some folks are like, it's interesting, but, maybe not give it a shot. I would definitely check out this Attica Old Vines 2013. That's ATTECA Old Vines 2013. It's by Bodega Vineyard, I believe. And it's just a really interesting wine.
Never before have I wanted to challenge your selection as much as this one. And I'm glad I did because it's very excellent.
And then been vanquished. You're welcome.
And you've been vindicated. All right, man. Well, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.